I had a hard time coming up with a title for this sermon. Figs, anyone? Anybody know what a fig is? You know what a fig is, right? It's a fruit. Figs. Figs were a staple in the diet of the people who lived at that time with Jesus. Figs. So there had to be a fig tree, right? Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, starting in the 19th verse? As you're turning towards that in your Bibles, have you ever run across a piece of scripture where you go, well, that's interesting. There seems to be a narrative going along, okay, a storyline, and then all of a sudden something is dropped in and you go, You know, God's word is perfect in the original languages, okay? We have a translation here. But even in this translation, I'll be going through scripture, I'll be reading, and then all of a sudden, wonder why that's in there. Do you ever stop and pray, Holy Spirit, what does that mean for me? What is going on here? What am I trying to discern when I read that? Has that ever happened to you guys? I hope so. Been kind of thinking about this scripture for the last couple of weeks, mulling it over. Lord, what's going on here? Why is that even in here? Let us read. We're in Matthew chapter 21. In the 19th verse, we read, well, in the 18th verse, and then we're going to move on. Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he, Jesus, became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree was withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" That's an extraordinary thing. Jesus was looking for fruit on this fig tree. And it was by the side of the road, a common place. So he wasn't looking to steal anything from a property owner. It was just a fig tree that was there. And it had leaves. So it looked healthy, didn't it? Nice green leaves. That's what's going on right now. Our trees are starting to bud. We're getting green leaves. We know they're healthy. I got three trees in my yard. I'm going to look at the third tree, but I got two trees in my yard. There's no leaves. No pine needles. The bark is starting to come off. Those trees are dead. Right? You would think that when you go out and look at it. There's nothing green there. It's dead. But this tree was alive. So what is going on here? He's looking for fruit. Fig tree. Okay? No fruit. So he curses it. And he did it in front of his disciples. And it was just his disciples, just them. One of the few times that he's with just his disciples, there's not a lot of people around him. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to teach them something. Now let's back up in Scripture a little bit. In Matthew, just a couple verses back to see what was going on the day before. Okay, as we go back to the 12th verse in the 21st chapter, we read that Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called the house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant. And he said to them, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. So it kind of brings in the context what this fig tree figures, okay? The fig tree was the religious system of the Jews. And I have some commentary I would like to give to you. Matthew 21:19, it represents the state of the nation and the people of the Jews in particular. They were a fig tree planted in Christ's way as a church. Now observe. One, I have 2 points here. The disappointment they gave to our Lord Jesus. He came among them expecting to find some fruit, something that would be pleasing to him. He hungered after it, not that he desired a gift. He needed it not, but fruit that might abound to a good account. But his expectations were frustrated. He found nothing but leaves. They called Abraham their father, but did not do the works of Abraham. They professed themselves expectants of the promised Messiah, but when he came, they did not receive him or entertain him. I want you to think about what the fig tree represented. It represented a people and a religious system that was supposed to bring forth fruit. Right? Fruit. But it wasn't bringing forth fruit anymore. They were playing at worshiping. The people that were running the temple had set up a marketplace in the temple, not in the Holy of Holies, but so close to the temple, there were money changers. There were people selling doves, probably cattle. And guess who was allowed to be there doing that? Only the people that the priests allowed. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in Scripture, but if you think of how men's hearts are, okay? How men's hearts are, you can pretty well ascribe that the priests were taking a little bit of a, little bit of funds, okay? Kind of like when you go to one of those open-air flea markets, right? The people that have the area to set up the flea market, they rent out spaces for you to set up your wares so you can sell them, right? That's kind of what was going on here. And Jesus came in and said, "This is not how it's supposed to be. My house is a house of prayer, a house of worship, and you have turned it into a den of thieves?" I want you to think about something. What money would people from other areas be coming into Jerusalem to worship at the temple? What kind of money would they bring? They would be bringing Roman money. This money would have a coin that would have the insignia, the likeness of the emperor. You couldn't give that to the temple. That couldn't happen. So there had to be an exchange. You would bring your Roman money in. You would take it to the coin changer, so to speak, and you would give him $10 of Roman money, and he would give you $9 back of temple money. Is that fair? Do you think that's fair? You're just exchanging money for money, right? You don't want to give idolatrous money to the temple, but they're taking a little bit of a cut there. That's not what the temple was about. It was about worship and faith and prayer and coming before God to offer up your offerings. Point number two, the doom he passed upon them, that never any fruit should grow upon them or to be gathered from them as a church or as a people from henceforth forever. Never any good came from them except a particular persons among them that believed. The prophets, they believed God. But what happened to the majority of the people? Through the history of the Mosaic covenant, there was a covenant there. And God makes covenants. I want you to think about this. God makes a covenant. He presents it to us, the people, and says, if you follow this covenant, I will bless you. If you don't follow it, there's going to be hardship. What was going on at this time? The religious leaders were not following the covenant per se. Their hearts weren't in it. They were just following ritual. Okay, we've got to sacrifice this bull on this day. We have to do it in a certain way. We have to dress up in a certain way. And they would say to the people, oh, you sinners, you unclean people, this further and no further. Their hearts weren't in it. It wasn't true worship. After they rejected Christ, they became worse and worse. Blindness and hardness happened to them and grew upon them till they were unchurched, unpeopled, and undone, and their place and nation rooted up. Their beauty was defaced, their privileges and ornaments, their temple and priesthood and sacrifices and festivals and all the glories of their church and state fell like leaves in autumn. How soon did the fig tree wither away after they said, his blood be upon us and our children? And the Lord was righteous in it. You know, when it came time to accept Christ on that Good Friday, they said, crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. That's what they said. And in AD 70, 40 years after this occurred, the Roman army came into Jerusalem, sacked it, burned it, and destroyed the temple and scattered the Jews out into the world. They have not been able to offer a sacrifice since 70 AD. So what's going on now? Well, the Jews came back to their land, okay, and there's a big brouhaha over there right now. We all see it. You see it in the news. This country don't like them. They're fighting this people. We've got this going on. We're sending arms over there. People are dropping bombs. People are getting killed because they've all come back. That's been prophesied. They will come back. But what occurred after Christ rose from the dead? A new covenant was brought into place in which we live in right now. I want you to turn to Corinthians chapter 11. Corinthians chapter 11. There we go. Corinthians chapter 11, starting in the 23rd verse. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Pastor. I'm just looking at Corinthians, and I know there's 2 Corinthians, and everybody's going, which one? Come on, Pastor Dave. 1 Corinthians. And this occurred on Good Friday. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in the 23rd verse, we read, and this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" At that fateful supper, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, instituted a brand new covenant. Now, was the old covenant bad? No. The Mosaic covenant was good. What it did was it pointed us to Christ, because it had the Ten Commandments, it had all the ordinances, it had the sacrifices. Everything was there to point us to Christ, because we needed a perfect sacrifice once and for all to take away our sins. Can you keep the Ten Commandments? I know I can't. And there's a witness here who knows I can't. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to do that. But she's a wonderful lady. And she knows me. And still loves me? Oh, now that is a blessing that every husband needs to understand. But we couldn't keep those commandments. We couldn't keep the Mosaic law. And for almost 2,000 years, 3,000 years, this was in place, and people kept failing and kept failing and kept failing. And it was to point us to Christ, the perfect sacrifice. So Jesus instituted that new covenant in his blood. By his blood, our sins are washed away. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to look at a little different way of looking at this fig tree. And it's not really a fig tree, it's Mark chapter 12 in the first verse. You know, at our new facility, since I'm an electrician, I'm going to make sure there's good lights, because my eyesight isn't the best, and I got to almost put my nose into the book. I can't see. Mark chapter 12, starting in the first verse, we read, and this is a parable that Jesus gave, and it's about a vineyard, okay? Not that far off, really, from a fig. It was a staple of their community. You had figs, you had grapes, you had wheat, you had barley. These are people that lived on the land. So Jesus gave parables that they would truly understand, and sometimes we don't understand it because we are not, well, some. I know of one farmer. Anybody else got any other farmers here? Anybody was a farmer at one time? Could have been a farmer, wanted to be a farmer. Farmer. Starting in the first verse through the 12th verse, we read, and this is a parable, "And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a vat under the wine press and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. At the harvest time, he went At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to recover some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. the vine growers, they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. He sent another, and that one they killed. And so with many others, beating some and killing others, he had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those vine growers said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." They took him and they killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read the scripture? A stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to seize him, and they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them. And so they left him and went away. Who is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the religious leaders. These two different stories fit together so well. They really do. They said they were expecting Christ. Christ was supposed to come. We're expecting, we're looking for the Messiah. The religious leader said, we're looking for their Messiah. And what happened? When he showed up, well, we don't like the way he looks. No, he's not doing the things that we want him to do. That's what they said. They were looking for this all-powerful being that was going to come in. They were going to slap down the Roman government. He was going to institute the kingdom of God on earth, and they were going to be in charge. And when Jesus didn't do that, they rejected him because it wasn't on their terms. How often do we, and I'm not going to talk about us individually, I'm looking at the church now. We are the church. How often do churches go, nope, don't like that. Well, I don't like the way that says that in the Bible, so we're just going to forget that. Let's not look at that anymore. Let's do it this way. How often does that occur? I numbered the pages so I don't get lost, because it happens. It happens. I want you to consider this about the first scripture I gave you, the fig tree. When we consider the time and place of this event, we understand it better. Jesus was near Jerusalem in the last week of his public ministry to his people. The fig tree symbolized the nation of Israel. Just as this tree had leaves but no fruit, so Israel had a show of religion but no practical experience of faith resulting in godly living. Jesus was not angry at the tree. Rather, he used this tree to teach several lessons to his disciples. Who are we? Are we not his disciples? We are his disciples. You know, when people say Jesus had disciples way back then, I go, no, that's not right. We're his disciples now. We're trying to learn from Christ, from the scriptures. We're trying to grow up in his being. We're trying to be more Christ-like. I think it's called progressive sanctification. That means we're not there yet, okay? But one day when he's finished with us, we will be perfect. We will be sinless. Right now, we struggle along. And all the stuff that we go through is to help us to learn, help us to grow. I have a brother-in-law who has a studio. We're full karate. Okay. And he teaches, he has young students. My grandson, who's six years old on Friday, he goes, and you ought to see him practicing in the living room. I mean, he's 6 years old, and he's, you know, he's making the noises, he's throwing his feet up, he's having a good time. It takes work. You know, you lift weights, you practice. It takes a little bit of pain to learn how to defend yourself. It's the same way with our lives. The pain that we go through, the things that happen to us, is helping us to grow. Okay, gives us opportunities to forgive other people. Has anybody here had anybody just really stick it to you? I mean, oh boy, it's like you didn't see it coming. What? My wife is throwing up fingers. Oh, how many times have people stuck it to you? Okay, it gives you the opportunity to forgive them, to grow in grace. I have no grace of my own. I have to get it from God. God's the only one with grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner saved by grace. So when you're going through difficult times, you have to learn what God wants to teach you, or you'll go around the mountain again. God doesn't give up on you, but he wants you to learn. God wants to produce fruit in the lives of his people. Fruit is the product of life. The presence of leaves usually indicates the presence of fruit, but this was not the case. In the parable of the fig tree, this tree was taking up space and not doing any good. There was no figs there. No produce. We can make personal application of this event. The main interpretation has to do with Israel. The time of judgment had come. The sentence was pronounced by the judge, but it would not be executed for about another 40 years, and then Rome would come and destroy the city, the temple, and scatter the people. Jesus used this event to teach his disciples a practical lesson about faith and prayer. The temple was supposed to be a house of prayer, and the nation was to be a believing people, but both of these essentials were missing. We too must be aware of the peril of fruitlessness. Now, I'm not going to talk to you individually about fruit. I'm going to talk to you about a church, a body. Are we producing fruit for God? That means it takes each and every one of us as a community, as a family. We're going to be moving to another facility. We've been here 12 years. We've been here 12 years. And in those 12 years, we've been praying for a facility. Not a church, but a facility. I remember the first days when we were over on Grace, thank you. Over on Grace Avenue. There was a facility there that we just went into. And I remember when we came together as a body and we decided we're going to create a church and we need a name. We need bylaws. We need elders. We need deacons. And I remember those days. I can look back in my mind and see us sitting in that room. And what are we going to call this entity? How about the Heart of Christ Church? Oh, we voted on it and everybody said, yes, that's a good name. That's what we want to be. We want to be the Heart of Christ Church in a community. That's what we did. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we came together as a group of people who wanted to worship God. And God blessed us. He put us together. Eventually, we came to here, and we've been praying for 12 years. Oh, Father, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Holy Spirit, give us a facility. And now it's come to pass. Can you imagine that? 12 short years. Did it seem like it was a long time? Anybody think it was a long time? Beth, long time? No. Bob? No. 12 years. And all that time, we were faithful to God, and he was training us up. He was helping us to become the body of Christ, the church in this world. So what has occurred to the church? Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of history, okay? But I'm going to have to paint really broad strokes because I'm looking at 2,000 years, okay? So you may be asking yourself, what does the fig tree have to do with us? I want you to picture a fig tree as representing the Christian church that was instituted and brought into existence at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and other believers, which we will be celebrating in about 42 days. Yep, about 42 days. The persecution of the church started shortly thereafter by the Jewish religious leaders, and the faith was sent out into the world. The Christian church was then subject to persecution under the heathen Roman rule and went underground in the catacombs, secretly worshiping Jesus Christ. That continued for about 242 years. Can you imagine that? 242 years. 12 years doesn't seem like much, does it? Not at 242. Until the Roman Emperor Constantine instituted the Christian church as the church of the state, we now came to the Holy Roman Church. And it worked well for a little while. It did. The Church of Rome became corrupted over the centuries due to the wolves in sheep's clothing entering into leadership positions in the church, instituting man-made institutions such as the sale of indulgences, which means you could buy forgiveness of sins with money that you paid to the church. Now we're moving through time here. Let us move through the centuries, coming to October 31st, 1517, when a Roman Catholic monk, through the moving of the Holy Spirit, nailed 95 questions to the Roman Catholic Church in the Wittenberg Castle door, the church door, and he sparked the Reformation. We're now in the 1500s. I'm moving through time really fast, really quick. Let us move forward to the centuries again, and we come to the 21st century, now with many Protestant denominations, and yet again wolves in sheep clothing have infiltrated the church and have watered down the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have instituted damnable heresies such as same-sex marriage, all religions lead to God, the murder of children in the womb as a woman's right, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures are not to be trusted. They have changed to suit the culture, and Allah is the same as Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm pulling no punches. This is what I see going on in the world. Wolves in sheep clothing have come in again. They're not getting in here. We're not going to allow that to happen. That is why we read scriptures. That is why we preach on the scriptures. That is why we live these scriptures. This is our truth. I say this to the world. We will be in Jonestown. You are free to visit anytime you want. But if you want to bring a heresy, ain't happening. I will lovingly, carefully take you to the scriptures and show where you're wrong. And I hope everyone in here would come to me that if I preach something wrong, you take me back to the Word of God. Because I will hold each of you to that standard as you hold me to that standard. Because He is the standard. Jesus Christ, the Word that came in the flesh. We as the church founded by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is the head of the church, are to bring forth fruit that is well-pleasing in His eyes, not the eyes of the world or the culture around us. The Holy Bible is the foundational document which the Holy Spirit has given us. With its instruction, we are to bring forth fruit of repentance from sin, striving with the Holy Spirit to live a holy and righteous life, bearing the fruit of patience and waiting for the Lord to bless us in His time, not our own. The world is running amok. And that is why I believe that Jesus Christ raised us up in this place for this time to send us out to Jonestown to be a church there. You have been in discipleship in this congregation. I want you to please, please understand this. Just because we now have a facility doesn't mean we get the rest. Doesn't mean we get to sit down. Oh, man, we finally got it. We made it. Oh, we got a building. Oh, yeah, we got a kitchen. Oh, we got a place that we can make coffee. Oh, yeah, there's a fellowship hall. I'm just, oh, man, oh, yeah, this is really great. Woo, baby. Thank you, Lord. Wrong. I want you to think about it. The work is just starting. It's just starting. There's going to be people coming towards us. They're going to be going. Who are those people? Heart of Christ Church. Huh? They're going to come and check you out. And believe this, they're going to check to see what we're wearing. That's what people do when they come to church. What are those ladies wearing? Uh-oh, did you notice that she wore that two Sundays in a row? They don't pick on the men so much. Unless you're really in tattered clothing. Can you imagine them coming going in a... That associate pastor, he wore a pulpit robe with a stole. Boy, isn't he full of himself. Maybe. But the work is just starting for us now. There's going to be new people coming in. Some will come in and they'll visit and they'll go, not for me. And they'll walk away. But the ones that stay... We're going to have fellowship with them. They're going to become brothers and sisters with us. They're going to become part of our family, part of the body. And they're going to bring their stuff from the world just like we bring our stuff from the world. They're going to bring it in there. And we're going to have discipleship hour. And we're going to train them up to be disciples of Jesus Christ. There's an incredible work ahead of us. I am so excited that I am a flutter. It's going to be absolutely tremendous. And I got to be careful. I'm going to be 67 this year. If I get too much fluttering going on, I could have a heart attack, fall over. Right? Got to take care of my health. Got to be ready. Ready to run that race. Are you ready? Are you ready for the days ahead? It's going to be extraordinary. I'm excited. I know you're all excited. Right? Yay! I'm going to close this. We're going to land this plane. And what are we to do? What are we to do? We say it every Sunday. Love God, love others, and go. So with that in mind, we constantly love God, worshiping Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Loving others by telling them the truth that Jesus has proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I don't care what anybody else brings in from what they've learned from someplace else. That is the truth. That is where we stand. And if you don't like it, I don't have a problem with you. You've made a choice. But oh man, the consequences of that choice of denying Jesus Christ. The consequences, I don't even want to go there. and going forth into the world proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified for sinners, and he died and was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. May his name be glorified. He rose from the dead. Okay, well, you look at other religions. Muhammad, Buddha, I mean, name any of them. They're dead in their graves. Jesus is the only one that conquered death. He rose again and he went to heaven. He was here for 40 days and talked to people and said, "This was the plan of my Father." That is what we preach. We preach it every Sunday. Without the resurrection, Christianity is dead. With the resurrection, we have life. We have it life and we have abundantly. Not this physical life, spiritual life. The life that's going to go on after this drops. That life that moves into heaven, moves into eternity with God. That is the life we preach. Church, that is our call. That is our job. We must in these days ahead prayerfully ask for discernment, peace in our spirit, Holy Spirit strength to move forward in whatever endeavor the Lord Jesus calls us. May his holy name be praised this day. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.